bad man, Sean. You're a bad man.
What a very bad man.
He goes to me before we start. So I get the intro this time, right? I'm like, no, you don't get the intro. I get the intro. Oh, man, that's too good, Twos. Mashup 47. How's Twos this evening?
Twos is good. He was a little bit swamped after the weekend, but it was really worth it.
Yeah, it was a fun weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, before we get into talking all that, how would we do this? Mashup 47 brought to you by Vern and Barb Luther. They were back-to-back week.
Okay, just real quick. Is your chair doing okay? Do you need to adjust it real quick?
Hi.
Okay, just get off of it real quick and then sit back down again.
Like, what the hell is he doing?
Oh, that's a nice shirt you got.
Oh my God. Now who's self-promoting, folks? Hey, now who's self-promoting? Dude, he ruins it. You know, I'm sorry, Vern and Barb. You know, that what kind of co-host do I got here? I'm in the middle of telling who 47's brought to by, and this guy's talking. Could you stop? Could you move your what am I doing? I'm wearing a, for the listener, I'm wearing a 222 minutes shirt. He gave it to me.
It looks good.
He gave it to me like 3 months ago. And I, anyways, can I get to who's actually paying for this? Or
yeah,
are
it's about damn time.
I tell you, it ain't Twos. That's for sure. All right. Mashup 47 brought to you by Vern and Barb Luther, Riskin Hope Farms. They got their bull sale happening on Sunday, March 26th. They have their yearling bulls being sold. Mm-hmm. Ugh. And you can buy them, or you can bid in person or online through DLMS. All the stuff's in the show notes. You get the point.
Yeah. You can buy them online, but they won't do the work online. You got to have them there physically.
And they're the ones who are bringing you Mashup 47. Just saying.
Yes,
not Twos.
Very much
not Twos entering into this conversation. Yeah, anyways, like
let it
you
go.
Try,
let it go.
You try and teach him folks some, you know, some things, and then he does that, and you're just like,
okay.
Couldn't have just waited? No.
We have a slight correction from last time.
We do.
We had said that Hanley was an RM222.
Correct.
And there's no way they were that cool. They're not.
Twos feels vindicated. For people wondering where
we have anybody listening from Hanley.
I don't know.
I want to hear from them if they are.
That's funny. Nobody texted the line to say Twos is an idiot from Hanley or anything. So that would be great. I would appreciate.
Not an idiot from Hanley.
I would appreciate that. For Riskin Hope Farms, for Rough Rider fans, I do like this. I just want to bring this up. Rough Rider fans gauge their barn is at a halfway home mark from Regina to Saskatoon on Highway 11. If you're wondering for a physical location on where they're at. Once again,
so
finally.
Smack dab in the middle of the province. Easy to get to unless you're in LaRange or something. But you probably don't have cattle if you live in LaRange. So it's a wash.
Bull sale, Sunday, March 26th. All the details in the show notes, especially if you're listening to the podcast. Everything's there. They got a. I also put up the link for the Metalworks 222 fire pit that you can bid on. And all the proceeds go to their 4-H beef club. In Hanley, Saskatchewan.
Not RM222.
Not RM222. Yeah, that's, you know, what are you going to do?
Okay, and speaking of bull, let's get to the show.
Hey, well, before we get there, what did you think of the SMP Presents this past weekend?
I thought it was great. I feel like Byron Christopher could just hold an audience on his own for a week straight, and everybody would just get catheters to not miss a minute of it.
All right.
I was so impressed by that guy. And then I talked to him for about 5 seconds right at the very end of the night. And I was kind of disappointed that I didn't get a chance to speak with him a little bit longer. He's one of those guys that you just kind of want to just maybe throw at something general and then just see if he can pick it up and just go with it, which he probably could. He would be a great guy to get a legacy interview from.
But I've done two interviews with him, and it's been like 4 hours. Anthony Murray saying, good evening, fellas. Yep. Just an FYI, and good evening to you as well.
Hey, Anthony.
I've done two interviews with him that have kind of been, what more would you like? Or you're saying okay. Byron should that's a good one. Byron should go and contact Vance.
Yep.
Oh, that is... We're dicing together sponsors here, folks. Vance Crow will be next week again with his sponsorship, his package of you can get legacy interviews done with him. He would have a fantastic conversation with Byron Christopher. I don't know if Byron Christopher so, is online though. You know,
I don't know. I just see the two things independently, and I think they would be so much more than the sum of their parts if they came together.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, well, let's, you know, we can sit here and banter this back and forth. I appreciate, yeah. First off, anyone who listens to the mashup that came to Edmonton. Super cool. It was a fun evening. And here's Barb. Okay, I'm so just so the listeners know, I'm messing around with things this week. Last week we put out, should we do a call-in show? And the resounding yes, mm-hmm. So we're gonna look into some things and everything else, but as we go along here, I'm gonna try and pop in some user comments or some people listening to the live stream comments. So Barb Golka, mm-hmm. I like Byron too, and like his blog, A Wealth of Knowledge. Some of it is very familiar to me via history. So there you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. Let's fire this up. We're gonna start.
Oh, and by the way, if you're interested in sponsoring the Tuesday mashup,
it's full.
Sorry, you're out of luck. Thanks for coming out. Shit out of
Sean. Life. Sean forgot to bring that up. You think it'd be on the top of his mind?
Yeah, sold out a couple weeks ago.
And I tell you what. And for Dustin, because he gave me shit, brother Dustin. Oh, brother Dustin.
No,
and
don't. I know what you're gonna do, and let's just move along to the show.
Clunkerdunker.com. That's all I'm gonna.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I didn't know what you were gonna do. That's totally legit. Yeah, clunkerdunker.com.
Did you think I was gonna pay him a compliment?
Yes.
All right, let's get on to this thing, okay? We're going to start the timer. I think we got 13 today. It should be 26 minutes. No doubt we are going to hit 43. That's my guess. I guess we'll see. Here we go. Dummies aren't diverse. I'm not kidding.
My headline was better.
It probably wasn't. Anyways, Houston, a new government report is calling out crash test dummies for their lack of diversity. According to the Government Accountability Office, crash test dummies do not represent enough of the American population, including women and seniors. They also said the dummies don't adequately represent all body sizes. And then it went on to actually talk about something that actually kind of made sense to me, so I wrote that mm-hmm. in as well. The approved height and weight of crash test dummies approved by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is based on data that's decades old. Dummies first used in 86 were designed to represent the mid-sized American man and is now actually closer to the mid-sized American woman.
Okay, so yeah, that is a good point. And also, you know what? I feel like if they want more diversity, by all means, it might take a little bit of a retrofit, you know, to get the different molds and stuff like that. But if you guys want diversity in everything we do, I feel like this industry should be more than happy to oblige. Let's make every single crash test dummy an Asian woman, and they'll have nothing to complain about.
I feel like it was a really, really catchy headline. When I first read the headline, I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
And then they sucked me in, and I'm like, this is not what I was hoping they were going to be mad.
I know.
The dummies were all like white or something, and I was going to.
Yeah, and I was going to be like, okay, well, let's just make them all Asian women. You wouldn't have an issue with that, would you, right? Because that's lots of diversity, and, you know, it is what it is. But, I mean, you can even make that same argument for seniors sometimes.
Oh, man. I mean, I'm disappointed in how an article actually reads. Like, that's how long... Anyways, welcome to the 47th edition where they made sense. They got
Yeah.
Vancouver's homeless situation looking brighter. Downtown Eastside Business Association urged the city of Vancouver to convene on an emergency meeting to discuss short-term housing and other solutions on Monday, a day after several propane tanks exploded inside a tent, damaging an adjacent building. On Monday, it was described watching a video of propane tanks exploding inside a tent on Main Street near Hastings in front of the Imperial, a former event venue at 319 Main. After several more explosions, the tent was engulfed in flames and the fire spread to other tents and the boarded up entrance of the building. The sprinklers were activated inside the building and caused extensive damage. And then the part two to this was, I'll get to what Barlow said. This is what they're suggesting was their suggestion is building low cost tiny homes on an empty lot. So people have some insulation. He said the encampments in some colder cities such as Winnipeg are providing designated burn barrels and locations used.
What? They're out of windmills?
Oh, man.
Oh. You know, the easy answer here is for Hank Hill to get the hell out of Canada and go back where he came from.
An advocate for the homeless said she feels City Hall could provide better fire safety supports near the encampments, such as extinguishers, training, and fireproof tarps and tents.
Or, crazy pitch, hear me out. If someone wants to set up a tent next to an abandoned building, you gently tell them to remove it. And when they don't remove it or themselves, you take it and get it the hell out of here. Because you say, look, this is a fire hazard. Like it was last week or something like that, that somebody burned to death in one of the tents, which is crazy. Like how much material is there in a tent that, but I mean, I guess if you pack it with all your worldly belongings, there might be enough tinder in there, but Jesus Christ, like going soft on these people isn't going well. Look at what happened in Oregon where they legalized all the drugs, which I would argue is going to be a contributing factor to everything going on in Vancouver right now. They legalized all the drugs and they had more overdoses than they'd ever seen ever. Isn't it weird that when a common sense thing, that's a bad idea and you're like, okay, well, this is going to make things worse. And then it does. And then they get mad at you for saying that. Like, I'm not being the asshole here. You guys are being the assholes because you're not doing your damn job.
The other news report that you was attacked on in this was from Nanaimo, and it said Nanaimo RCMP were called to the incident Sunday afternoon after an owner of a local mechanic shop, one of six people who went in the encampment to recover stolen tools, was shot in the stomach. And then the article later said, risking your life or possible injury to yourself or others over stolen property is not worth it. Constable Gary O'Brien said Monday, people taking justice into their own hands, it never ends well. So that's in on the island. And yeah. That was a story, obviously, of a business owner having stuff stolen and they went into and then obviously mm-hmm. gets shot.
So crazy idea. How about this? We quit hobbling the few remaining police officers that want to do their job and we let them do things like go into these camps and get people's stuff back. Right. Like there's, I'm not going to get into the specifics, but the town where I grew up, this one group of people moved in and they just kind of just started going around stealing stuff. And then you had people going by and they're saying like, that's my quad. And the cops are like, well, what's the serial number on it? Do you got the serial number? And they're like, no, it's on the, like, what are the odds? This is, you know, and so it gets really frustrating when the people who should actually be doing this stuff, and maybe the off chance that they're not going around collecting speeding tickets for once, they actually want to do this stuff, and they can't do it because they've got an incredibly soft on crime municipal and provincial and federal government when they're in BC.
Yeah.
If the law took the law into their own hands, the people wouldn't have to.
Dutch politics has a new rudder. This is an interesting,
Dutch
interesting.
Rudder, right?
What?
Dutch rudder. Never
Dutch
mind.
Anyways. Okay.
It's okay.
Is it over my head? Am I, do you want to explain?
No, it's, you know what? I don't want to get hands on with it. Keep going.
Didn't I mention we've been going like as hard as we can go for like 5 days now? Sean, you could tell 8 quips right now, twos, and I think they'd all go over my head. I just, you know.
That's every week, buddy. What's the story got to say?
The story says this. A new populist party surfing a wave of rural anger at government environmental policies has emerged as the big winner in Dutch provincial elections, dealing a heavy blow to the four-party coalition of the Prime Minister, Mark Rutte. The success of Farmer Citizen Movement, BBB, in Wednesday's vote, which will determine the makeup of the Senate, cast doubt over the government's ability to pass key legislation, including its plans to slash nitrogen emissions. The Netherlands has clearly shown we're fed up with these policies BBB's founder Carolyn Vander Plas told the public broadcaster.
Of course, her name's Vander Plas. Like, name one person who's Dutch whose name doesn't start with a V or a Z.
Sorry, it's not just about the nitrogen. It's about citizens who are not seen, not heard, not taken seriously. With over 90% of the votes counted, BBB had secured a share of 19%, enough, according to projections, to give them 15 members in the 75-seat Senate, which the provincial assembly members choose the new upper house in late May. That would make the new party the biggest bloc in the upper chamber, with the combined Labour and Green Left parties also projected to have 15 senators. Rutt's coalition is on course to see its combined seat total fall from 32 to 24. The government aims, I tagged this in at the bottom of it. The government aims to buy farmers out. I think we all know this, but I thought it was good to read it off again. The government aims to buy farmers out and reduce livestock numbers by up to a third to help halve nitrogen emissions by 2030. Soil and water nitrogen levels exceed EU limits in the Netherlands, the world's second biggest agricultural exporter. So you may know there's all these protests, and you sent me a video of Peter Sweden talking as they got, like, what was it, 1,000 tractors, and like there's just people been showing up to these giant protests. Anyways,
it's the Freedom Convoy with bigger wheels, and God, it is beautiful.
And a smaller country where they seem to be meeting frequently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've been blocking off roads and spraying manure at government buildings, and It's everything that you wish we were doing right now.
Yeah.
And look at the change it's affecting.
Yeah. I was like, oh, wow. Like that came about quick. I didn't realize. But then you read a bit of the party's history, and it's been formed for 4 years. You know, I'm always curious on how quickly a party can get success, you know, like how.
I think it depends a lot on the contributing factors, but these agrarians here, they've definitely been sowing the seeds of anarchy, and I like it. Hey, that works out with the anarchy. Did you figure out the other sound effect?
Which one's? No, I don't know. No, Tooth, I have been with you for like the last. When was I going to figure it out? You know, when was I going to figure this out? You know,
maybe you just had to go run to the bathroom real quick. And
we're supposed to go 26 minutes, folks. And this is what he does to me on a weekly basis. When would Sean like to figure that out? You've been literally with. Anyways, more hockey players don't wear the ribbon. This is first and foremost, this is about James Reimer, goaltender of the San Jose Sharks, one of their goaltenders. So it reads off: James Reimer, Logan Couture, and David Quinn all spoke with the media. Here's Reimer's official statement about declining to wear a Pride jersey tonight. And it just went on to say, under the umbrella of NHL's Hockey is for Everyone initiative, the San Jose Sharks have chosen to wear jerseys in support of the LGBTQIA+ community tonight. For all 13 of my NHL years, I've been a Christian, not just in title, but in how I choose to live my life daily. I have a personal faith in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sins, and in response, asked me to love everyone and follow him. I have no hate in my heart for anyone, and I have always strived to treat everyone that I encounter with respect and kindness. In this specific instance, I'm choosing not to endorse something that is counter to my personal convictions, which are based on the Bible, the highest authority in my life. I strongly believe that every person has value and worth, and the LGBTQIA+ community, like all others, should be welcomed in all aspects of the game of hockey. That's what he wrote. And then, I mean, chaos ensues.
Yep. Everybody got mad because he didn't want to wear a ribbon. You know that episode of Seinfeld?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what do you...
Hey, you know what? Like, when we talked about it, when the Flyers guy said, no,
Ivan Provorov.
And then his jersey sold out. The funny thing is that I was expecting a goalie to be on top of this way sooner, because you know how superstitious they are. Do you know much about hockey? Right? Because they would have been like, nope, I'm on a 6-game, 3-game winning streak. There's no way in hell I'm going to risk that with some weird jersey.
Yeah, to me, twos, it's like, it's whatever. Like, it's just a guy taking a stand, and people
losing
their crap
about
it. It's not
even him taking a stand. It's just saying, hey, you know what? I'm just, this isn't for me. Right. But it's, you guys do it. I'm not going to.
Right. It's his own personal stand. And he's just saying, I'm not going to do it. And people lose their shit when you won't do what they want. You know, they tell you to do and everything else. And he's not, is he hurting anyone? Like, really? Like, you read that statement and I'm like, I don't know if there could be a more well-balanced statement of a guy and his faith.
It was well put. I mean, it doesn't even have to be about faith. It could just be about whatever the hell you want. But you just say, okay, well, if you guys want to do that, that's cool. I'm going to pass. And that's not really taking a stand. But, you know, it's that whole say the line. You saw on Twitter 1,000 times over where people are like, I've got COVID, but thankfully I've been vaccinated. And because of that, my symptoms are mild and it could have been way worse if I hadn't already done it. And they just said that exact same thing over and over again because they had to, because it was expected of them, whether, you know, culturally or in this, you know, whatever else, right? And so there's nothing wrong with somebody. It's an easy thing to just be like, hey, you know what? It's not for me. You guys have fun.
Yeah, I agree. Here's Darren Ostapowicz. Jeez, I hope I said that right. And I know, too, as I say that lots. What? I actually found you on a Monday for a Tuesday. Well, now. And we record Monday night. Monday night we record, and we've been doing it live stream now for how many? I don't know, maybe 10?
Half dozen, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, so we've been trying to, let people in on the action and have a little bit of fun and try a few different things.
I'll say this, though, about the ribbon, about, you know, saying the line, wearing the jersey, whatever it else it is, you're going to get a lot more people, I don't know, comfortable with the idea, on board with it, supportive of it, if you don't tell them that, if the people who are doing it aren't being coerced into it. I don't know if that sounds familiar to you at all, but if you just say, hey, you know what, if you guys want, wear the jersey, if you don't, no big deal, and then that's how people go out and do it, well, you're gonna get a lot more support from just the general community than being like, oh, well, they're forcing them to wear this jersey that may or may not represent them. That seems a little shitty.
Yeah, I anyways, what more can I say? Here,
you'll catch more flies with honey, but you'll catch way more honeys by being fly.
We like to say people kind, not necessarily mankind. Yes. More inclusive.
There we go, exactly. Yes, thank you.
And the budget will balance itself.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
No offense. Yeah. You're one pathetic loser. So people could see.
Thanks again for making that video or that audio clip, by the way.
Yeah, well, that comes from two little girls out, and I just want to, I'm gonna freeze it there with the guy with his head down. That comes from two girls who run a ice cream stand in BC. Mm-hmm. Anyways, isn't that just, that's great. This is what we're talking about here right now. Liberals force a show of support, workers hang their head, and so it's Trudeau with a bunch of construction workers in the back, and the one guy is...
Clearly
having none of it, as you could tell, he's got his head down
the whole time. Here's the thing is they get pushed into this because it's part of their job to show up. And you know what? If you're at the factory that's going to get a big grant, whether you agree or disagree with Trudeau's politics, you're expected. And it's probably something that would negatively affect you in the workplace if you didn't go along with it. To just be like, yeah, we support Justin Trudeau. Fuck. No, yeah, and so this guy, he's like, okay, well, I guess you can make me stand up there, but you can't make me look anyone in the eye. And honestly, when you're selling out everybody that you work alongside to pay for all this shit, how can you do anything but hang your head when you're expected to stand up there next to that fucking asshole?
So then somebody said, why are you lying? And they posted the picture of, you know, I feel like I'm doing Twitter files right now of Justin Trudeau and tons of people, you know, this one lady taking selfies with him, whatever. And then underneath that is a text message to Primo. He said, I almost passed out. That was the hardest thing I've ever had to sit through silent. This is the firefighters, correct? Tuesday.
So this was a few days before Trudeau did the same glad handing bullshit announcement at a fire hall.
And so it goes on.
Everybody was required. Or expected, yes. Or whatever else, to wear this ribbon.
Yeah. So he says everyone who asked a question at the fire hall had to submit it to the chief prior. That was basically a stage movie with the children's questions and everything. We were told if we were asked something that we didn't run by the chief and have approved with the PMO staff, we could face a disciplinary action. We were also told it could impact the fire hall and future promises from the federal government. The entire team is beside themselves. All of our hands are tied. That was so wrong. The temperature of that room was boiling. You should have heard the protest outside. It was loud and nice to have them doing what we wish we could have. I like this response. You'll be sorry one day, man. I would have taken the disciplinary measures. That's the least you could have done, but it is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, imagine that a liberal government in Canada would threaten somebody's livelihood just to push their personal agenda. Does that sound familiar at all? Here's the thing. This stuff will continue to keep happening until people stand up. If you watch the video clips from that fire hall, I didn't put any in there, but if you look at them, you've got the entire crowd behind him, incredibly stone-faced. They're just looking pissed right off. None of them want to be there. None of them are actively listening. They're just sitting there like, and they're just waiting for it to be done. And eventually he's going to get to a point where he's not going to be able to do those things anymore, because you are going to get the people who say, you know what? Fuck it. Fire me. I would rather live on my feet than die on my knees. And I get the fact that it's difficult. Byron Christopher said probably one of the coolest things I've heard in a long time the other night, when he said that the two biggest threats to journalism are mortgages and car payments.
Yeah, Byron's the man. Byron would be fun to have on this.
Hey, D.
Rapporteur is not French for neutral. You gave me two articles in this one, and the one article was maybe like the coolest. You know, just it's the guy who broke the news, who leaked the news from CSIS agent. So I'm just going to read it. I'm going to read like a chunk of it too, because I found I hadn't seen this before. Well, obviously, just, that's why you sent it. All right. Good. The following opinion piece is written by a national security official. When I joined the public service many years ago, I swore an oath not to a party or to a person, but to my country, to its democratic institutions, and to my fellow Canadians. When I first became aware of the significance of the threat posed by outside interference to our democratic institutions, I worked, as I have many unnamed and tireless colleagues, to equip our leaders with the knowledge and the tools needed to take action against it. Months passed, then years. The threat grew in urgency. Serious action remained unforthcoming. I endeavored alone and with others to raise concerns about this threat directly to those in position to hold our top officials to account. Regrettably, those individuals were unable to do so. In the time that passed, another federal election had come and gone. The threat of interference had grown, and it had become increasingly clear that no serious action was being considered. Worse still, evidence of senior public officials ignoring interference was beginning to mount. So let me be clear, as troubling as the revelations we have seen are, I do not believe the foreign interference dictated the present composition of our federal government, nor do I believe that any of our elected leaders is a traitor to our country. Nonetheless, the growing impact of foreign interference on our ability to enjoy a free and fair political process is undeniable.
And yeah, so well, a bit more here's in the thing is the Canadian definition of treason. If you go and read it, I can't remember which act it's in and which subsections, paragraphs, whatever else. But when you go through it, nothing that China has been doing with these elections and nothing that the people in Canada have been doing on behalf of China, allegedly, do we have to say allegedly so that we don't get thrown
allegedly
in the... Yeah. So that we don't allegedly end up on a Chinese vacation. Well, anyways, it's allegedly not treason. So everybody who says, oh, this is treason and oh, that's treason, it's not. And if you want it to be treason, we've got to rewrite the laws, which I'd say is a fair statement to make. There's some holes in here because really what they're doing, you're like, it's not really super illegal, but it's wrong as fuck.
Dude,
you didn't even get like the actual thing we were going to be talking about here. The rapporteur, the one in the headline. We haven't even talked about the rapporteur.
Well, do you want it?
Okay, yeah, just real quick. Trudeau picked a longtime friend of his stepfather, Trudeau, and a neighbor at the lake where that guy's grandkids and his kids play together. He is a former member of the board of the Trudeau Foundation, the one that we just talked about, who ran into all that trouble for the $200,000 shady as fuck donation that they gave back. This is the guy that Trudeau handpicks to be the rapporteur, okay? And then you've got these idiots on the conservative side calling for an inquiry. Do you remember how well the last inquiry went? When they said, okay, well, you know what? You need to be justified according to the rule, the letter of the law. You need to have justification for this. Can you share us your justification? And they said no. And then the POEC said, okay, fair enough. You get a pass anyway. How the fuck do you think this investigation would go?
Who's the fan?
They would just claim cabinet confidentiality.
Who's the fan of an inquiry?
And they would get a pass.
Who's the fan of an inquiry?
Tom Korski.
Right and on. Do you fuck with Tom Korski?
You don't fuck with Tom Korski.
You don't fuck with Tom. That's all I got to say. All right? Here we go. Oh, man. Woman goes to extreme lengths to avoid admitting typo. If you ditched cereal boxes for uniform glass containers and opted for plexiglass storage bins in your fridge, you may be engaging in classist, racist, and sexist behaviors, one Chicago professor contends. Dr. Jenner,
obviously not from the Chicago School of Economics, I'll tell you that.
Dr. Jenna Drenton, an associate professor of marketing at Loyola University, argued Tuesday that the recent obsession with organizing kitchen and pantry spaces, a TikTok trend she dubbed pantry porn, is pushing societal standards that the average American cannot keep up with while tricking consumers into spending more money. And then it went on to say, cleanliness has historically been used as a cultural gatekeeping mechanism to reinforce status distinctions.
Just think about the low-key racism of low expectations in this whole article. Like, well, black people aren't clean, so obviously if you have a tidy pantry, you're being racist against them. This is basically what it's saying.
What lies beneath the surface of this anti-messiness, pro-niceness stance is a history of classist, racist, and sexist social structures.
White people are the only people who could tidy up a kitchen? This is just insanely ludicrous. And it's the soft bigotry of low expectations. It's been referred to before. Like, well, I mean, does anybody know a Mexican with a clean kitchen? I'm pretty sure the Jews don't tidy up their KitchenAid mixers. Like, this is just for the record, I'm not saying that that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that this is basically what they're
saying.
What she's implying. Yeah. And then, so if you're going to show a picture of your clean kitchen and pantry, you're really hurting the minorities who are trash, is basically what she's saying.
Oh, man. That brings us to our weekly headline. The NDP are not a serious party. Mm-hmm. And this is going to bring us up to... Jagmeet Singh's tweet. He said, I'm deeply concerned by reports that India has suspended civil liberties and imposed an internet blackout through the state of Punjab. These draconian measures are unsettling for many, given their historical use to execute extrajudicial killings and enforce disappearances during the 1984 Sikh genocide. I'm calling on Justin Trudeau and the Liberal government to immediately contact their Indian counterparts to express concern regarding the suspension of civil liberties and the safety of Canadians abroad.
Okay, real quick, when you read that all together, he's basically saying that they did an internet blackout in 1984 to kill a bunch of people, which just on its own is stupid because the internet was barely invented in 1984. I think at that time it was still a military thing. But this is the same guy who voted for Bill C-11.
This is the guy who props up our government right now, who didn't talk to a whole population that went and protested on the front step of Parliament.
And there was a lot of, you know, because he said it was all racism, but there were so many Sikh truck drivers in Canada. And you would think that he would probably want to talk to people who are very obviously not white nationalists, and probably have a few things to share with the guy, right? But it's just it's just the idiot rhetoric that they put out in front of people. And you wonder how much can they actually believe it? Because at some point, you know, you don't want to attribute malice in place of stupidity. And there's some kind of a fancy way of saying that that's eluding me at the moment. The thing about it is at what point does this continue for so long that you say there's no way that somebody is this stupid, even if they're a socialist?
Hope they don't shit on you, Bubbles.
Shit on who?
Shithawks. Big, dirty shithawks.
Just move along without congratulating yourself.
Russians put one over on Putin and Zelensky.
I feel like this almost should have been the happy news. It was close.
Okay, so here, if you're listening, it's a poster somewhere in Russia, and it's for dementia care facilities are using Biden on their posters, and it's him hugging Zelensky, and the translation reads, elderly people need attention, and there's a phone number attached to it.
Yes, and so you can't tell from that picture on the side of the subway station, but someone actually found the color group of pictures that it came from, and that is Vladimir Zelensky that Joe Biden is hugging. And then there's other versions of that poster that talked about dementia. And then so this thing about Russian dementia care facilities, it ended up getting fact checked. And this classic fact check, they said the whole thing's false. Because the phone number isn't for a Russian care facility.
Yeah.
It's for the US Embassy in Russia.
You got to give them credit. They got some humor.
Oh, that was well done. There's a lot of great chess players in Russia, and they're playing chess while the U.S. is playing, I don't know, it's like a shitting-your-pants version of checkers. Oh, that thing where the chicken goes around and whatever spot it shits on, that person wins? Kind of a clunker-dunker with nitrogen.
Canadian Cancer Society gets society's cancer. I'm just going to show this. I'll bring it up here. It's a series of tweets. Okay. And somebody screen captured, I should say. Mm-hmm. It says Canadian Cancer Society recommends cervical cancer screening for men. You heard that right.
Who identify
as women. And
you could do that over the phone. Be like, hey, you know what? Yeah. Hey, I think I might have cervical cancer. Okay. How many dicks do you have? The over-under is 0.5. Do you have a single dick or less than one dick? And they'll say, well, I have one or more dicks. And then they'll say, okay, you don't have cervical cancer. I mean, you may as well say it for people to get their gills and their wings checked while they're at it. Like, I don't know. I might have avian bird wing cancer. Can I get checked for that too? Yeah, we could also do that over the phone. Yeah. You know, it's funny. It's a missed opportunity. Like there's, you know, you got the whole pro-life, pro-choice debate. And the thing about it is that the pro-life people could give a little bit of ground when it comes to these kind of discussions. And you say, you know what? I don't support abortion. If that's what they're saying, they could say, I don't support abortion, but I'll meet you guys halfway. I will support abortion for all the transgenders out there.
It went on to say, I'm gonna read that. Okay. If you're a trans woman, you may not have given much thought to a pap test and cervical cancer. And if you haven't, that
I
makes
wonder
a
why.
Ton of sense. After all, in order to get cervical cancer, you need to have a cervix. That is the organ that connects the vagina to the uterus. Yeah. If you're a trans woman and have not had bottom surgery, you aren't at risk for cervical cancer. Case closed.
Exactly. Also you should check your exoskeleton and your mandibles and your gills and anything else that you feel might be worth checking out for cancer.
This might
be over the phone. Do it over
the phone. They don't shit on you, Bubbles.
Shit on who?
Shithawks.
Shithawk.
Big dirty shithawks.
You know what's a big dirty shithawk move? Taking an awesome clip and playing it more than once.
You know what?
Less is more. Less is more.
You know what, Twos?
What's that?
I don't like your attitude.
I'll do
as I see on this side, all right? I'll do as I see on this side. All right, here we go. No fancy headline. This planet is stupid.
I couldn't there, where do you go with this?
I don't know.
Sean,
let's have some, let's see what we can do here. The use of legal performance enhancing drugs in some substances is having adverse mental and sometimes physical health effects on young people in Canada, a new study shows. Some concerning side effects on young people include mental health issues like eating disorders and physical side effects like hospitalization, the study published in the National Library of Medicine in December 2022 reads. While these legally sold over-the-counter products are verified by Health Canada, the impacts these substances can have on healthy young people, particularly men and boys, are increasingly concerning, the study says. Now, I printed off, like, I literally took their list of what they're talking about. They're talking about caffeine. They're talking about protein bars. They're talking about probiotics. They're talking about whey protein powders. That's what they're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, and Monster.
And then I'll give them a couple things. Yeah. Some effects of muscle building and weight loss supplements include problematic alcohol behaviors, such as binge drinking. Future use of anabolic androgenic steroids, criminal offending, intimate partner violence, sexual risk behaviors, muscle dysphoria, eating disorder symptoms, disability, and death.
Yeah. So if you're drinking a protein shake on an infant's timeline, you'll die.
And then the guy went on to say, similar to tobacco and alcohol, Ganson suggests these products should also be subject to additional taxes to deter young Canadians from taking the products. If we increase funds through taxation, we can actually then fund the research, prevention, and intervention efforts to understand what happens long-term and to educate young people. I could not make this up, folks. I could not make this up.
The solution to people doing diet supplements, including whey protein, so that their body can have the building blocks they need to get the most out of their exercise regime, is taxation.
And if we've learned anything on this show,
wrote this.
I feel like if we learn anything on the show, more taxation is the answer to us. I think that's, you know, I think it really is the answer.
What if we taxed taxation? Would it go up or down?
Nice. You know, I at this point, I don't fucking know. Protesters stands abreast with Avril Lavigne. I feel like a whole bunch of people saw the video of the lady getting on stage at the Junos topless and Avril Lavigne talking. And here's
what did Avril Lavigne have to say when she got up there, Sean?
Get the fuck off, bitch, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah. Avril Lavigne had quite the surprise on stage Monday as the singer was introducing Canadian musician A.P. Dillon during the Juno Awards in Edmonton. A topless streaker hit the stage, walking around until security was able to escort the woman off. She told the streaker twice to get the fuck off the stage. The individual clad in pink pants and a bandana had a message on her back, "Save the Green Belt," a protester message over a residential development plan by the Ontario government. And then this is what this tweet was beautiful. Greg Wycliffe on Twitter, CBC, because there's an interview with this woman, right? Like a 2-minute interview. And it says, CBC will interview a hippie who showed her tits at the Junos, but won't interview a single person in good faith who attended the trucker convoy.
Bang on. Also, did you listen to that interview?
I did.
Okay. The part where she's talking about the privilege she has and how she's so privileged because she has perfect tits and a huge ass. I saw the video. It's an exaggeration. But I mean, here's no. Unbuzz. We're just Sean. It's just we got a little bit of ground to cover on this yet.
Okay, you want to cover some ground twos? Okay, you fire away.
We're gonna go into injury time on this. All right. So this isn't the first time that she has done a topless protest to save the world from the harmful fossil fuels and the evil industry that's poisoning our planet. And she isn't even the first one by a long stretch. You've seen lots of them all over the place. There's a bunch in Spain. They just stand around with their sweater monkeys out saying that we're going to change the world with this. But it's a really, I mean, you can't take these people seriously. And it takes away credibility from the whole fact that maybe we actually have a little bit more than 12 years to save the planet. Because here's the thing, Sean. Okay. I'll give you a relatable example. Let's say that Ma and Pa Newman are fighting, okay? Your dad and your mom aren't seeing eye to eye. Your mom wants to get your dad to load the dishwasher, and your dad just doesn't feel like it. Okay? Now, if she takes off her shirt and says, I will not put my shirt back on until you load that dishwasher, how long do you think it's going to take to load that dishwasher?
Well, a couple extra minutes anyways.
Yeah. So this whole idea of we're going to keep showing all of you our breasts until you stop using fossil fuels. This is just like when Rosie O'Donnell said that she wasn't going to make any movies in Hollywood until Donald Trump was out. Like, that works for everybody. Please continue.
Sweater monkeys? Yeah. That's all I took out of this entire rant. Sweater monkeys.
Oh, you didn't. You must have missed the part where I was talking about your mom with her shirt off. But it's okay, because it's with your dad. They do that kind of thing, Sean. That's how you got here.
Guy mentions, you know, twice he goes over. Anyways, here we go.
No, I stood exactly on the line and I looked over the edge. I didn't go over the edge.
here's some happy news. Okay. Happy news here, folks, this week.
Yes.
Robert Smith is the cure for excessive Ticketmaster fees. It reads, the Cure's Robert Smith said Ticketmaster will refund some money to fans after the rocker ripped into the company for charging what he believed were excessively high fees. And then it had an example a little further down. It said some fans took to social media to share photos of service fees, facility charges, and order processing fees that skyrocketed the prices. One photo showed that the fees alone totaled more than the $80 the person would pay for four tickets. So he bought four tickets.
$20 a ticket.
And
so it says it's $150 for that ticket, and it ends up being $170. Yeah. So what happened was, a few years ago, Live Nation was acquired by Ticketmaster. Live Nation is, in North America, the huge name in concert promotion. And so then the Antitrust Bureau rubber stamped it, and they said, oh, no, there shouldn't be any issues. It'll all be fine. And Live Nation said, oh, yes, we are definitely not going to gouge people. And then, believe it or not, once they had a government-sanctioned monopoly, they started to gouge people. And they said, we won't promote your concert unless you use Ticketmaster. And Ticketmaster said, we're going to charge whatever the fuck we want, and your customers can deal with it. And so it ended up being this unholy shit fest of price gouging. And the only way it's going to stop is when people like Robert Smith of The Cure, they tried this with him and he said, I'm sorry, guys, you've got the wrong number.
Yeah. And I mean, you wish it was, as much as I like The Cure, I wish it was
more of them. Pearl Jam did this like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And it wasn't nearly as big, but yeah, you're just like, yeah.
You think there's an opportunity there for somebody to, or is Ticketmaster just way too big? I mean, I just used.
So Ticketmaster is really big and they have a really good interface, but there's smaller ones. If you go to not necessarily mom and pop, but if you go to any of the smaller concerts.
Well, if you go to S&P Presents, he uses ShowPass, which is an Alberta company.
Exactly.
And I've used Ticketleap.
There's a few other ones.
Which was an American company. And both of them had really easy interface. I wasn't too upset with, you know, either one of those. And once again, I got harassed a bit, in a good way, to use a Canadian company, and that was ShowPass. That's the one that just did the event we just did on Saturday. So I mean,
yeah, so this came out just before the weekend, and you just look at what he does, and you're like, you know what? It's Friday, and I'm in love. Hats off to you, Robert Smith. That was great. It's even better than the time you saved us from Barbara Streisand.
One of the that'll wrap it up for Mashup 47. You know, I'm looking at the time. What did I say? 43 minutes. Yeah.
I think
I said 43. We're at 42. Hey, that's not bad, Sean. So I might as well do this. Eileen Clark wanted. I get the LGBTQ, but what do the other letters mean? So it's L. Oh, do you want fire?
Okay. All right. So you've got basically it's the rest of the Latin alphabet, the rest of the Greek alphabet, 17 hieroglyphs, and a couple Nordic runes.
Darren Ostapowicz says Eventbrite would that work? We used we use it for Project Maple Seed.
Project Maple Seed. That sounds like something the government did in the 70s. Like that's something where the CIA wanted to infiltrate Quebec and get rid of some nasty
Certainly, I've heard of. I've heard of Eventbrite. Well, lots of people use Eventbrite. I've heard their fees are high. I don't know if that's true or not, though. I mean, I haven't heard that they're as high as what Ticketleap was pulling off. But I don't know. I have never used Eventbrite for any of the S&P presents. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure.
You know what? At some point, you might want to just develop your own.
I don't know. Maybe.
Well, get somebody to do it. Don't just sit there and write it yourself. You're not going to learn Python and C++ just to make one damn website.
Oh, man.
It's just a build versus buy analysis.
Rifleman instruction. I was in Lloyd with you with it at your range. Really? Project Maple Seed. Well, okay. All right. Cool.
I don't have a range in Lloyd, although I used to do a lot of the trap shooting south of Kitscotty.
Well, any other thoughts, twos, before we roll on? When I brought up doing a call-in show, I wasn't sure I was going to call back from that. But man, the text line sure lit up with that. Would be a
absolutely
lot of fun.
And then I got all kinds of feedback about it this weekend, and I didn't really have a chance to crack the nut and really get into what exactly people thought it might look like. And I got as far as saying the wrong group. I was like,
Okay.
I got as far as saying, like, I'd really love to hear your guys' opinion. I'm probably not going to use them because I'm probably right, but I'd love to hear what you have to say. Right. But in all seriousness, if everybody thinks that we should do this, there's all kinds of things to think about. What day of the week should it be?
Well, why couldn't we do hear me out on this. Okay. Why couldn't we just do a test trial on a Tuesday mashup just to test it out and do it? And do it a little earlier in the day. Well, hell, maybe at the same time. If you're out east, I don't know. I don't know if a call-in show this late at night would work. For the listener, we start recording at 9 at night.
What are you talking about? If they're in the Maritimes, they don't even have to get up for work tomorrow anyway.
Well, if you're the DC, I don't think he's staying up to 11 to call in, you know?
No, he's getting up for work in about an hour.
That's right. So I'm like, how do you do it in a way that is conducive to having a little bit of fun with it and people coming in? And so we got to think about that. But I'm like, well, or maybe we just do two in a week and we just do it on a Thursday night and we just try and figure out how that goes or what have you.
One of the other things, like if you've got some thoughts on this, we would absolutely love to hear about it because we want to make something that you guys want to hear. Make something that we like as well. I mean, that's how the mashup came up.
All the text I got into twos was like, can you imagine some lefty calling in and arguing with twos? And I'm like, and I would facilitate it. This would be the greatest thing. It'd be like, can you imagine the insanity that would go on a show if we let people call in and harass twos folks?
Yeah. I think if we had somebody who was, I don't know, somebody like Max Fawcett, but like fun and interesting also at the same time. Like, how good of a conversation could I have with somebody like that? I think it would be wonderful. Speaking of which, though, we do have a text that we need to read that you didn't because you haven't been reading texts for a while. So I'm just
waiting
go ahead
for you
and take
to come
over.
On. You know, it's funny. You know, like two's just riding on my coattails, folks. He just
fire. I mean, I did all the other work. All you got to do is just push a couple buttons when you show up in front of the microphone. All right. There has not been a decent talk show worth listening to in Ottawa since Brian Lilly left CFRA. I think a call-in show. Oh no, wait. That's I. That was good, but it wasn't really quite what I was looking for.
Keep going, Tuz. You're really nailing this. Jeez, I thought it was easier than what you're doing, man. All you got to do is read a text. All you got to do is read a text. You've been sitting there this entire show,
and you can't
find a text.
I'm pulling an audible. Jeez. I'm pulling an audible. This is what happens sometimes.
You're doing such a smash-up job here.
Okay, all right. So here's the way it goes. It says, we are having our main floor repainted, and our friend who is doing the work is killing himself laughing, listening to you guys. This is week two of my introducing him to Mashup. My husband doesn't want him to be on the ladder while listening because we aren't sure our insurance covers died while laughing. And then I replied with, we have to read that one next week. And then you didn't. So.
And then you butchered it, you know, like. This is why Sean reads, you know. This is I can read and twos at times.
I'm just a dumb jock.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that'll do it for Mashup 47. I look forward to hearing what the text line does. If you're listening to it on the podcast, shoot me a text in the Spotify show notes, and I should really do that on the live stream. Shoot me a text in the show notes. And I'd love to hear what you guys have to say about that. And maybe me and Tuz over the next month, we'll try and figure out the details of how to maybe pull something like that off. Then we'll give you plenty of time to know when the day will be. Mm-hmm. And if we pull that off, then we'll give it a test run and see what comes of it.
Okay. Here's the thing is, first off, we got to do at least a few of them. Secondly, if you think this is a good idea and it's fun and we should roll with it, what would be very beneficial for me personally, in all seriousness, is if you just say, you know what, here's something that I really like about talk radio, or here's something that I really don't like about talk radio. And because, I mean, if we're going to do something vaguely like it, let's not just copy it exactly. Let's pick something that just everybody wants to hear. If we're going to do it, we may as well do it better.
Yeah.
And agree. John Gormley, if you're listening to this, we are on your heels.
We're coming for you.
We are coming for you, boss.
All right, Tuz. I'm. I think you know. I now we're at 49 minutes because Tuz bungled a text, folks. You know, I'll take it back from him next week, and I'll make sure that he doesn't have to worry about anything. And
see, I had to screw it up, otherwise I'd be stuck doing it every week.
That's true. All right, that'll do it for this week. We will catch up to you guys next week. 48 coming up. I think Vance Crowe and his legacy interviews are the headliner, and we'll catch up to everybody next week. Oh, and. This is Slid In Rate last minute. Daniel Smith had a great talk show. Check her format out. She had a lot of interesting guests, and then did Collins.
Okay.
Anyways.
I don't know if we can get 100,000 people to vote for our talk show, though.
Never say never, Tuz.
All right. Thanks, Sean.
Yeah.